Hello.
Hi, Jill, this is Rajesh.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, doing well. I could call in on the 404 number. The 800 number wasn't letting me call in.
You're kidding.
Yeah, well, not kidding. I tried.
Oh, that's annoying.
But the 404 number works.
The 404 number worked. This is Christy. I was able to get the 1-800 number. You might want to hang up. You might want to hang up and try again.
I tried like 4 or 5 times, so
Oh, really?
yeah.
All right. Well, sorry for your long distance.
Okay. 800 number worked for me too.
Okay, good. Good. I'm glad. Maybe it's got a limit on the number of people that can call in.
No.
I only just called in on the 800 number. It worked fine.
I did.
Okay.
I did as well.
Hey,
Take it
Jill.
personally. I would suggest you ought to take it personally.
Just some strange thing at Texas in Texas.
For sure, there's lots of strange things in Texas
Yeah.
if you're from Oklahoma. Yeah.
Jill, I have a question.
Yeah.
Okay, so when I do my presentation, how do I show my slide?
So there'll be a win. I'll change you to presenter. Right now we've got Kirsty as presenter, and you can actually, do you see your name in a list of participants on your screen?
Yes.
If you want to, you can click off of the audio and the video and WebEx. They actually cause a little bit of interference. We don't use them because it gets too much with all of us on.
So, how do I get out of that? Am I out?
I think you hover on the little icon of the video or the icon of the headphones, and you just select to deselect it. I don't know because I've never turned them on.
Okay, let me see.
Kirsty, are you on?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
You're a little far away, maybe off of speaker. Or are you on a... It's a little muffled.
I can't hear her at all.
Hello.
Hi. Is
Hi.
that Dr. Jones?
It is. Hi, Jill.
I'm going on voice recognition. So I'm going to start the roll call here. I know some of you had some problems dialing in. I'll look into it after the call, but I'm sorry about that. Ed and Michael and Bill Dunty are going to join us in a couple of minutes. Is Jen on?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, and I heard Christy. Christiana?
Yes, hi.
Claire? Jeff?
Yep, this is Jeff.
Hi. Johan? Scott?
Here.
Hi. Sarah?
Yes.
Tatiana?
No, this is Ed.
I'm here. She's on vacation.
Okay. Is that Leah?
Yes.
Hi. Allison Noble or Mike Suddy?
I'm here.
Hi.
Hello.
Tom or Sandra?
I'm here.
Hi. Kathy Mitchell? John Hannigan?
Present.
I heard Sarah Jo.
Yes, indeed.
James? And then Ed, are Michael and Bill with you?
I'm on.
I heard Michael. Okay.
Bill
And
and
if...
Joe from IAAA are here.
Great. And we've got Deepak and Kirsty joining us today.
Yeah, I am having a little trouble getting onto the WebEx. It doesn't like my email address.
That's weird.
Or my password, which is alcohol, right?
Correct.
I couldn't get those to work either, but I was able to log in a different way.
All right. Well, an incorrect email address.
Remember, you're not trying to log in. You're just trying to join a meeting.
Yeah, you don't need a password.
And why'd you send one?
No, Sarah, he's on a screen where I think he's trying to log in as a user or administrator. So that's asking for a password. You need a meeting password. The password is alcohol.
All right, I am going to go back to your email and hit the link again.
Okay.
All right, but why don't you ask people if they would like to summarize what happened at RSA for them?
Okay.
Why I try to solve this problem here.
Okay, would anyone like to give a stab at how the consortium or the cross-consortium symposia went?
Yeah, this is Hannigan. I could talk about the cross-consortium.
Great.
I think it was very, very well received. All of the speakers gave excellent presentations and really showed, I think, the promise of paying attention to what's going on in other groups and bringing people together for explicit conversations. I think they really came to what I found was a conclusion is that, immunological reactions to prenatal alcohol, need to be provoked by some later challenge. That seemed to be consistent across all the talks. So I was very pleased, and I hope we can do it again across centers on a different topic.
And, John, I want to thank you. I thought it was very good. So.
Fantastic. Does anyone want to speak to the CFAS symposia?
It's Michael, and I think that everybody did a very good job in presenting. There was a good audience in attendance, good interaction with the audience, and I think that CFAS was well represented at that symposium.
Wonderful. Ed, I see your name popping up on WebEx. Does that mean you were able to connect?
That does mean it. So I am good.
Excellent.
And I want to say that I thought that that CFAS represents at RSA was very good. But I thought the talks were good. I thought everything was, saw a number of posters. Sometimes we got it not the best sessions in terms of timing, but I thought we were well represented and the things went very well. I was pleased with the symposium that Michael put together that I was in. I thought it was went very, very well. I think we're doing a lot of cool, really cool things. So, all right. So the major thing today is CFAS has these affiliated members that are people who have been involved in CFAS in the past and for one reason or another have gone on to be participants in research on FASD, but are no longer getting funding from CFAS, but still have a tremendous expertise and have had a lot of input into CFAS's progress. And in our last application, we came up with this idea of trying to keep these people involved as affiliate members. And Kirsty Donald's on. And she and Deepak Sarkar are going to present, but Kirsty's going to go first because of the time change, the time difference, and she would like to have dinner with her family. So I'm going to just let her go. And as you all know, Kirsty was involved, I think, first as a pilot project and then as a regular UO1, I believe, although I'm not positive. And she does the brain imaging work in South Africa, and she's been highly productive and was contributed greatly to CFAS's efforts in the brain imaging domain. So, Kirsty, it's all yours. Hello?
I just got a message from her that she couldn't log in anymore, so she's going to log in and log out again, but we don't do the audio through the WebEx, so I'm not sure. We lost her for a moment.
Okay. Well, I want to give her the opportunity to go first so she can get to dinner, if she can get back on. But you heard she was there during the roll call, right?
Yes. It was hard to hear her, but I could hear her, and I could see her slides. So I'm not sure what happened.
Yes. I could too. So,
mm-hmm. I just got a private message from her. Give her a minute here, maybe. Claire and Johan, you were able to join?
Yeah, I'm here.
Great.
Have you heard anything more from her?
No.
All right. So,
should we switch to Deepak as the presenter?
Yeah, I think we should. All right.
Okay. I made you the presenter.
Wait. She just came on again, I believe.
Oh.
Christy Donald, AD, is on my thing. So, Kirsty, can you hear me?
Hi, Joe.
Hello. You're very low. You're very muted. So you're going to have to speak up, and you can, I don't know who has your slides. Jill, are you there with her slides, or does she have them?
She has them.
Hello, you can.
Are you getting me?
The audio is very bad, though.
Christy, you're called in through the phone line, correct? Christy?
All right, let's just, well, now I got more things coming up. So, I think it's just a very bad internet connection.
She's probably doing the audio through the WebEx.
Looks like that, given the icon by her name.
Yep.
Okay, we can all try to turn on the audio WebEx if we all have audio on our computers, I guess.
Is there a way just to message her to call in?
I did.
Okay.
How do you do the audio, Eric? Audio?
There's a phone. There's a phone icon, and you can hit call using computer. I don't know if it works or not, because we've not done it. Kirsty, can you hear me? Hi. I can hear you. Can everyone hear her now?
Yes.
Not very well.
I can hear you, but I don't think anyone else can because no one else is using the WebEx audio.
Are you able to hear me?
Yes.
If you go over to the WebEx audio, we have to hang up on the phone.
Okay,
I'm going to get your back.
You know what? We're getting terrible feedback from the WebEx. Kirsty, is there any way for you to call in on the phone line?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
All right. All right.
This is terrible.
You're going to have to do something.
Okay, everyone, disconnect from the WebEx audio. We'll just have to find out a different time for Christy to present.
What do you want me to do?
Christy? Let's switch to Deepak.
Switch to Deepak.
All right.
Okay.
You can hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so I have to get my slide to the computer.
Yes. So the little up, the share content button, and then share your slides or your screen.
Share content button. I don't see that yet.
At the bottom, there's a microphone, a video camera, and then it looks like a folder with an up arrow. That's the share content button.
Okay, it's the share content, okay.
And then select to either share PowerPoint or your screen. And if any of you connected to the audio on WebEx, just either disconnect to it or hit the mute button so that we don't have interference.
So I put my PowerPoint.
Yeah, we can see it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All set?
You're on.
All right, so it's my time. What I like to do today is basically tell you some of the things we are doing with respect to the sleep and circadian system. And you know how it's relevant to some of my work with which I did with the CFAS funding, and then also trying to show you, tell you some of the things which we found in animals, and that's how we could take them to human study in futures, and that's what I like to do in futures, and that's what I want to present today. So. You may all know that sleep is a major factor, and it interacts with alcoholism. And disturbance of sleep could happen for various reasons: jet lag, night shift, alcoholism, environmental stress, anxiety, depression, and obviously, there are several studies now coming out. Having a connection with FASD and sleep. Now, sleep is a very interesting phenomena. It's really not only keep us very healthy, but it also regulates varieties of body physiological functions. And it does so by interacting with these sets of genes called clock genes. And when the sleep gets disrupted or clock gene gets disrupted, we get various kind of diseases, which we have found. I'm going to present some of them. They are relevant to immune function, cancer, diabetes, stress, and depression. So how does those sleep and clock genes interact and cause these alterations? Interestingly, the sleep clock genes are all, every single cell has the clock genes. And they really govern all the function of the each cell. Now, the interesting phenomena is that the circadian clock system in cells are get regulated by these circadian clock in the central nervous system, which is part of the hypothalamus called suprachiasmatic nucleus. Within the suprachiasmatic nucleus, you have core area of suprachiasmatic nucleus and shell area of suprachiasmatic nucleus. Shell area, these are clock genes. They are really doing autofeedback and making a rhythm of 24 hours. And then is there is another part called Suprachiasmatic nuclear core neurons, which receives light and dark signals. It comes and then it controls these shell part of the circadian system, and then get transmitted to the every part of the body, peripheral system, central system, to govern its function. So we are really interested in these one set of clock genes called part 2 genes. Why we are interested? Because these part 2 genes, what we found, Maria Agapito is a PhD student who finished, she found a very incredible result. What she found, that she took these cells, pure cells, the hypothalamic cells, and looked at the effect of alcohol at various times. And look at the effect of alcohol in this system called POMC system, which regulates stress, stress, mood, and behavior. And these systems are responsive to very alcohol. But the interesting phenomena is when she knocks out clock genes, alcohol no longer works on POMC genes. So alcohol effect on POMC genes is completely dependent on clock genes. So that really got us very excited. Then we took it to the cell culture system. Within the cell culture system, we have these POMC genes, these cells produce POMC genes, and looking at this alcohol effect at various time periods, and trying to see whether this alcohol makes these cells permanently programmed, meaning if you expose alcohol for a long time, make those cells completely change. And indeed we found that. Here, if you see here, we're using the cells with a different doses of alcohol. And it affects not very much. It has a slight increase in 50 millimolar, 100 millimolar, it has a significant increase. But then, if you take them away, the effects are gone. If you keep them for 24 hours, the effect is very prominent, increase, and this is what we are showing. We are showing the methylation of these genes, and also we are showing gene expression of these genes. So methylation of these genes goes up within different various doses, and expression of these genes goes down. Interesting phenomena, what you see here, if this alcohol is taken away and keep them for 5 days without alcohol, these signals are still there. These epigenetic programming is still there. POMC gene suppression is still there. 48 hours, still the same effect. So what is showing that alcohol, short-term alcohol, has an effect, but it activate or suppress, whatever, depending on the gene. But if you keep it for chronic time, it programs these cells, make these cells completely change or epigenetically completely change, and that persists for a long time. That gave us a really, really exciting thinking. So we also thought, okay, if these POMC cells are regulated by clock genes, obviously, clock genes also do the same thing. Indeed, part 2 genes, you have a small effect in 6 hours, 12 hours, 24 hours a major effect, and then we get these epigenetic modification, and it's lasted for 5 days, which you studied, it maybe lasted for a long time. With the gene expression, it's suppressed, it lasted for many, many days, even after with the alcohol. So that really got us excited, so we thought this could be a significant factor making all kinds of health issues. And it could be also a significant factor making maybe useful for a biomarker. So we started collaborating with Rajita Sinha from Yale University and looked at these alcoholic patients. We took these 3 group of alcoholic patients, moderate drinker, big drinker, and heavy drinker. They stopped drinking, and then they brought in the hospital and gave them chance to drink. and look at the phlogists and pompsigenes methylations. Indeed, exactly what we saw in the alcohol, in the culture, these patients have these permanent changes of epigenetic modification. And more the drug, more their methylation was. So that's really got us excited. So, you know, my main interest is really fetal alcohol syndrome. I said, okay, let's do a fetal alcohol syndrome study. So I started coming to FSD and started collaborating with the FSD. Got a chance to work with the FSD investigators, got funding from CFAS, and then started looking at this clock gene methylation and pompsigene methylation. And look at here. These are the pregnant women who gave birth to PAE children, and indeed their methylation is much higher, both PARTI genes and POMSI genes. We looked at the children who were, you know, we had prenatal ethanol exposed. Some of them are fetal alcohol with fetal UFS, some of them are not. So we grouped them as a PAE, and exactly we found this methylation, was, they saw, had in mother, it transmitted to the children. Exactly what we predicted from the cell culture experiment. This is really, really exciting. Why is really exciting? Because we think this could be a biomarker for alcoholism. Not only you could detect in alcoholic, you can also detect in the children and tell them whether or not they got exposed to alcohol. So another interesting part is this also, can this be reversed? Can this, the reversism with the epigenetic medication, we can reverse this and bring it back to some of the normal function back. And I'm very excited, and I want to continue working with Jeff, and here when these FSD children were given choline, and look at this, longer you get by 90 days or longer, we get this methylation goes back to normal, or goes back went down, so that the expression goes up, so showing is getting back to normality, and perhaps that could be one of the way to take care of some of the problem with the patient. So what are the problems? Does it happen with these changes? So we started doing some of the work in animal. Again, if we knock down the animal, we abolish completely plasma corticosterones and also alter the hypothalamic POMC, showing it has this modification can impact stress axis function, which we have done a lot of work showing indeed it does. We also see this PARTI deletion is changes the glucose level. It also altered the circadian rhythm of glucose, circadian rhythm of immune function, splenic interferon level. So that's what we are finding with the part two, methylation, meaning when you put alcohol, you cause part two methylation, you may have a chance of causing this disease. We did a reverse way. We know POMC goes down, so we wanted to see whether we could reverse it, or we can prove it by showing that overexpression of POMC will do the opposite. In this, we developed a method where we produce these stem cells and stem cells to pure red endorphin cells and put them in animals in the hypothalamus, and we see that it survives, it produces POMC, it's produced red endorphin peptide, and also interestingly also it suppresses the stress response. It also reverses the problem with this NK cell cytolytic function. Some of the immune function get all abnormal. It could reverse it back. It also altered the glucose problem, diabetic problem. So beta endorphin neuron transplant could reverse some of the hyperglycemia. Beta endorphin transplant reverses some of the problem with the prostate cancer, reverses some of the problem for the breast cancer. So we think this is a really one of the key elements for some of the problem associated with FSD. So we wanted to prove this, and we want to see this whether it's not happening. So I wanted to continue with the FSD investigator and trying to see that this clock gene and pump disease alteration correlate with the stress and anxiety problem with the FSD young adult. I also wanted to see whether or not these clock genes alteration is associated with type 2 diabetes in FSD young and adult. I wanted to see whether or not we find lots of different cancer in animal model with FSD, including prostate cancer, including breast cancer, and also wanted to see whether or not that also true with the FSD patient, especially adult, and also wanted to see whether or not choline supplementation has some beneficial effect in any of these areas. So that is my 20-minute presentation. I'm very excited with this. I think these are quite a significant finding, and I think it will have a major impact on FSD research if we have the chance to work on. And thank you for listening. And finally, I wanted to and acknowledge all the collaborators who helped our finding.
Deepak, thank you. Thank you very much. We have time for one question or two.
Deepak, it's Michael. Very nice work. the data that you showed on methylation and you suggested might be a biomarker for alcohol exposure. I wonder if you've looked at any other stressors to see if they too would produce the same effect. So in other words, how specific do you think this effect is to alcohol exposure?
We have looked at some of the effect of nicotine. We don't see anything. We with respect to the stress, we have done some work, not very much, but the chronic stress doesn't produce permanent changes of pump genes. So that's our finding, not with the young, but the adult, we don't find it. With the nicotine, all the FSD patients, which were, also addicted to nicotine, we don't find no correlation with the nicotine and this oncogene expression or methylation changes.
Thank you.
All right. Deepak, I have a question, but I'm going to email it to you because I don't want to keep Kirsty waiting.
Okay.
So let's try to get on to Kirsty again, and I hope she's still there.
She is not, Ed. We're going to have to work out some audio and things issues, so maybe she can try for August.
Okay. All right. So the question I'll ask Deepak is, in the data you collected with Jeff, there was some variability, and I'm wondering if you've looked at the individual data to see if there were reasons why you had some people who appeared to not be improved by the choline, if there's something about their behavioral issues or their physical issues that makes them non-responders.
I think that's a good point. I think I should really, I think we have talked this issue a little bit with Jeff, but we never went in depth. Maybe we should go back with Jeff and he has all the data we can look into clearly. I also wanted to talk with him. I have mentioned to him before. I want to continue to see these patients a little bit longer and see whether or not this thing changes after a period of time. So this is a very good question. I want to work with Jeff and find that out.
Yeah, we have basic data that we can look at that. The question is about sleep. I don't know that we were collecting sleep data at the time that those samples were collected, so that would certainly be interesting to do, but I don't think we have the data to do sleep.
But the stress response, you know, which we have very good stress response, we can look at the stress of how long is this high corticosteroid level last in this patient. Would be a very interesting thing to look at. And maybe choline supplementation will reverse it or bring it back to normal. I think that could be a very significant finding.
Yeah, I do too. And I have to say that you do some of the most parametric, comprehensive studies of any of the ones that I typically see. So you should be congratulated for that.
Thank you.
Nice job, Deepak. And I hope that we can continue to our I know you collaborate with a number of CFAS investigators, and I would encourage that all the way. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. So are there any other questions for Deepak? All right. So are there any other business that we need to do with CFAS? Any exciting, wonderful new data? Any questions, comments, concerns from any of the investigators? Anything from the Science Advisory Board?
I think we're still looking to expand our ranks, and I think nominations to Ed would be in order.
I think whatever John thinks.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Which is another reason why we need to expand our ranks.
How about from NIAAA?
Yeah, Joe and I are sitting here looking at each other, and I don't think there's anything, any updates to provide today.
I apologize for the brevity then of the conference call, and the things didn't work out with Kirsty, but hopefully we'll resolve them for the next call, and she can be on. Hey, Jill?
Yeah.
For the meeting in D.C.,
yeah.
How many does the room hold?
30.
30? All right.
And that's a cap, if I am understanding correctly.
Okay, well, I just want to thank everybody, and I again apologize that we had problems with the WebEx. But
Ed?
Yeah.
Do you want to stay on with Bill afterwards so we can use the remaining time in this call?
Works for me. Jill, can we stay on?
You can.
All righty. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.